Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. On the program today, we are continuing our current series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, with Dr. John Neufeld. From our text, take it from Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37, we will examine the topic of truth, lies, and the words we use. Let's go back to the Bible with Dr. John Neufeld.
Let's not be too quick to criticize people who lived 2,000 years ago. Have you ever noticed how often we do the same thing? How often have you heard someone say, "Honest to God," or "I swear on my mother's grave," or "If I'm lying, I'm dying"? I've heard people, after they tell me something, then add, "Not a word of a lie." Now, why do they say that? Does it mean that at other times when they don't evoke an oath, there is frequently a word of a lie? Well, yes, that is exactly what they're saying. Or when I was a child, we used to say, "Cross my heart and hope to die if I tell a big fat lie." We said things like this to call a curse onto ourselves and so convince the others that they could trust us when we uttered this particular oath. It was our way of saying, "This time, you can trust what I say." And were we not indicating that we could only be trusted when we speak this way? We were declaring that we were liars at all other times. How telling is the use of oaths in everyday language. And here's what Jesus said at the end of verse 37, is, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no at all time." See, this use of oaths comes from evil, or the text might even read, "This thing comes from the evil one," that is, from Satan's throne, who is the father of lies. And so when I read verse 33, where Jesus says, "You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but perform to the Lord what you have sworn," he meant, you've not only heard the Pharisees teach this, but this has been a tradition that was handed down from generations. The practice is well entrenched. And to all of this, Jesus responds in verse 34, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all." And here I understand him not to be canceling both the Old and New Testament use of oaths, but rather I hear him saying, don't use oaths in your regular conversations at all, ever again. All you're doing is covering up the fact that you are a habitual liar. Now, at this point, I need to add that there are some denominations that forbid the taking of oaths in a court of law, and others do not. And I think we should not divide on this matter, and here's why. I have a very dear friend from back in university days who's practiced law as long as I've been a pastor. He tells me that on numerous occasions, a client will tell one thing to him in his office, and then when that same client gets on the witness stand, is forced to raise his right hand, and then is threatened with the wrath of the law if he should tell a lie, my friend tells me he has on numerous occasions seen a client suddenly change their story. He says something like this. He calls it the cult of the court, and he says, it'll scare the truth into people. And for those who refuse an oath in court, they're in effect saying, I would like to make it my personal Christian testimony that my commitment to the truth is the same, whether I'm having a coffee in a coffee shop with friends or I'm testifying at a murder trial. I'm always before God, and ask me to swear here as if I had a higher standard here would be to make a mockery of the truth. Now, I think we should respect those consciences that lead them to do that, but the Bible doesn't demand oaths. But there are other Christians who rightly point out that oath-taking is not forbidden in the Bible, but what is forbidden is using them in everyday language to hide our propensity to lie. So, wherever you stand, can we agree on this? Using oaths as a part of everyday conversation is, according to Jesus, an evil thing that comes from the mouth of liars. So, let's see if we can give the improper use of oaths. First, we should not use them in normal conversation. We've said that. Second, we should not use them to highlight that we are telling the truth now as opposed to other times. See, I've often wondered about small print in contracts. Much of it seems like the ancient Jew who said, "I swear by the altar, but did you notice I never swore by the gift on the altar?" See, such is the nature of some business dealings in which one party leaves some clever legal maneuvering which will allow them to cancel their word. I think Christians are warned to let our yes be yes and our no be no. So let's also talk about truth, lies, and the words we use. Well, first, and this is key, only use God's name in the context of holiness. It might be normal for unbelievers to use the name of God as an expression, but it must not be so among us. God's name is to be regarded as sacred. Some believers misunderstand the third command. They think it only prevents us from using God's name in profanity. But the third command condemns all use of the name in any other context, but for worship, for adoration, for learning about Him, and obedience to Him. To say, as has now become popular, I'll just say the letters, OMG, is for us a very serious sin. And then to add, as some do, I swear to God, this only adds to our sin and is profoundly offensive to the God who made us. If you've become accustomed to that kind of language, repent and get someone to help you, to hold you accountable. Don't view this thing as a slip of the tongue, but that which it truly is, a denigration and a belittling of the only name that can save you. Only use God's name in the context of holiness. Do not desecrate your lips and condemn yourself. So first, only use the name of God in the context of worship or of theology or of honor. Never casually. Second, never make an oath that demands your ultimate loyalty. For your ultimate loyalty belongs to God alone. And see, that would mean that the ancient Christians were unable to swear that Caesar was Lord, for only Christ is Lord. Any oath that demands ultimate allegiance is rejected by us, for only Christ is worthy of that. Historically, most Christian denominations forbid allegiances to secret lodges that demand an oath as part of their initiation rites. I know of one such lodge that demands its followers testify that they are now, once coming into the lodge, coming from darkness into light. No believer can ever say that, for those words belong to our conversion, and our conversion alone. Be careful what your mouth says. Don't swear ultimate allegiances to anyone but our God. Christ alone deserves an ultimate oath. It is the oath we make in our baptism that our ultimate loyalty is to Him and to Him alone. We would rather die than bring dishonor to Christ. If a lodge demands it, we say we cannot, for Christ has claimed us. If the nation we live in demands it, we say that our loyalty will be to this nation, but ultimately our loyalty will be to Christ. But third, all of us need to clean up our language. I mean that we should take Christ at His word. He commands us not to take an oath by heaven, by earth, or my head. That's because heaven is the throne, the earth is His footstool, and my head, indeed everything that is my body, is made by God and owned by God, whose destiny is in the hands of God. So we need to clean up our language. I actually don't think that Christians should ever say things like, I swear on my mother's grave, or other silly things that get said. I'm amazed at how often I will even say things like honestly in my conversation. Does that mean that when I don't use the word honestly, that I'm not giving an honest report? Why, all these words in our language, why would I say cross my heart? If a man or a woman tells the truth, no such words are ever necessary. Indeed, his or her character speaks for the truth. And finally, make sure that you make your yes and no meaningful. Let me tell you a little story. I've heard that the Bronfman family, a very wealthy Jewish family that built much of the downtown core of Toronto, are said to have made deals on major multi-million dollar investments on the strength of a single handshake. The word was out there that when a Bronfman shook your hand, it was better than a lengthy business agreement signed by lawyers and placed into a legal account. When they said yes, it was yes, and when they said no, it was no. And that's how all believers are to be. If the train conductor asks you how old your son is and you say he's 5, you can take it to the bank. If he was 6, you would have said so. And if the border guard asks you if you have anything to declare, if you say no, you only say that because it's true. I could go on and on. As believers, our word reflects that we are the people of the God of truth.
John, the story of the Bronf man is really incredible. It really is a remarkable story. I think perhaps we have lost that sense of integrity that our word is our word.
You know, I think we all have, and I think perhaps that's something the Christian church as a whole is going to have to wrestle with. And we need to start to rethink what ethics looks like for the child of God. Blessed is he, says Psalm 15, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. There are times that we'll say something and I'll say, you know what, now to keep my word after this is going to cause hardship, but because I've given my word, I'm going to stay with that word. So I think that's what Christ calls us to.
Most of us have heard the phrase, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Today, we have learned a deeper lesson here about the importance of being people who tell the truth and use our words carefully. For Jesus demands that we do not take oaths for granted, but that they are used in the way he intended. In this way, we are set apart from the world as citizens of God's kingdom. I hope this message has blessed you today in your walk with God. Do not forget to listen again as Dr. Neufeld examines Matthew chapter 5 verses 38 to 42 on the topic of revenge versus justice. In this series, the greatest sermon ever preached, Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. By now, many of you have probably heard or received our Bible teaching resource called Confident Living Magazine. This is sent once in 2 months. This magazine offers even more engaging Bible teaching articles from qualified Bible teachers and writers. It has articles that are relevant to life and exclusive updates on the ministry of Back to the Bible. The magazine addresses on difficult issues of life and your journey with God. If you have not asked for your copy of Confident Living Magazine, then don't delay. So be sure to ask for your personal copy. Call us at 9492-440070. Call us at 9492-440070. Or send your request by email info@backtothebible.in.